I'd like for you to turn first this morning into the Gospel of John, in the first verse, in the first chapter. How important the things are that God has written to you and written to me, and how expressive that He has made them, and how wonderful He wants to relate them to you and to me. It says, in the beginning was the Word. Now, the Word is a Greek word that is logos, and it means, whether it's in Greek or whether it's in our language, it's the expression of a thought. The expression of thought. Now, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, we find right there that the Godhead, and there was someone more than the Godhead there, because the Word was with God. So we see there the wonderfulness of the Scripture, how wonderful it is. And God wanted to express to you and express to me the attitude that He has toward us, because that we are sinners. He wanted to express His love to us. And the greatest way that He could express His love, express His Word, was to send His very own Son as the expression of that Word. In verse 14, look there. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And right there it tells you that Jesus could not sin, doesn't it? If He were full of grace and truth, there was not room for anything else, was there? He was God. So God's Word is so, so perfect. It's a living Word. And Jesus Christ is that living Word. He came and He expressed God's desire that you and I would be clean. You and I would be made the righteousness of God. Through the death of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary, Jesus died to make you and to make me clean in the sight of God. And can you say this morning, or could the Lord Jesus say of you this morning, ye are clean every whit? That's what He said to the disciples when He washed their feet in John chapter 13. He washed their feet, and Peter said, no, you're not going to wash me, Lord. He said, you're my Lord. But He said, you're clean every whit. You're clean, but your daily walk needs to be cleansed also. So first of all, you and I, as in the mankind that God has put upon this earth, we are sinners. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And to be with God, then we have to be cleansed. We can't go to God being tainted by sin. So God has given, as we might used in an illustration, God has given the greatest detergent that this world has ever known. And that detergent is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, for it can take away all sin. It can cleanse from all sin. Now, let's looking at the Word and what it is, the expression of thought, and it's the ultimate communication of God about Himself. Look at while we're right there, 1 Corinthians chapter 14 for a moment. Before we go to our text, 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 9. And the Apostle Paul says, so likewise ye, except ye utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? For ye shall speak into the air. And God wants you and wants me to understand what He has written. The Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning of an alphabet and the ending of the alphabet. If it were not for alphabets, we could not communicate by words. We couldn't communicate by relating one to another. We would have no basis for looking in here. It would just be blank pages, or it would just be lines of blackness. But God had, you know, it says, now notice, in the beginning was the Alpha. In the beginning was the Omega. God, before the foundation of the world, decided that we would communicate by word. God wants us to communicate that way. Now, let's turn to Psalm 119. And if you're here this morning and you have not been cleansed, I want to tell you how you can be cleansed. I want to tell you through God's Word and from God's Word how you can be cleansed. And it is the simple method, the simple application that God has given. You're cleansed from your sin by trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Now where, my friend, did you learn of that? From where?
The Word.
You see, it's the Word of God. That is from where that you learn that you have to be cleansed. You didn't learn that any place else. You learned it from the Word of God. It was written in the Word of God. And God told man how to be cleansed, and he wrote it down. Isn't that wonderful? God wrote it down in all its perfection. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is perfect. The Word of God is pure, and it is because God is pure, and it can't be anything else but that, because it says, the Word was full of grace and truth. The Lord Jesus Christ was full of that, running over with it as it would be. Now look in Psalm 119, and we quote many of these many times, but I want us to look at these this morning. Psalm 119 and verse 9. And I would say this in relation to men and women. And God says to a young person, to a young man and to a young woman, that's the time that you need to realize that you need to be cleansed, and that's the time you need to be cleansed, so that you can have a profitable life, one that is something of which you can look and say, this is what the Lord has done for me, and I want to do something for Him. I want to be a workman in the vineyard of the Lord. So the Bible asks the question, and it gives the answer. The Bible always does that. When the Bible asks the question, it gives the answer, except maybe for one, where how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? I don't know that there is an answer to that. But here we see verse 9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Now you're in the wrong way if you're a sinner. You're in the way of Satan. And your righteousness, in Isaiah 64 and 6, it says, all our righteousnesses, and that's plural, are as filthy rags. So we see filthy rags. And I had a notion this morning to bring a dirty old towel that had hers on, and a real bright shining one that had his on. But I didn't know whether Blanche would stay in here or not, so I didn't bring that in. But you see, we have a dirty old rag. All our righteousnesses are filthy rags. And so we need to be cleansed. We need to have something that will cleanse them. But there's only one solution to which you can apply that filthiness wherewith it will disappear. And it will. Because he removes it as far as the east is from the west. He puts it into a sea of forgetfulness. That's what God does with your filthiness and my filthiness. Now notice here. How shall a young person cleanse their way? By taking heed. We have to pay attention. We have to pay attention to what God said. Now in the beginning was the what? The Word. We have to listen to the Word, for it says in Romans 10 and 17, for faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? The Word. Hearing by the Word of God. So, my friend, pay attention to what God says in His Word. Don't pay attention to some preacher, or even though the preacher may be a good preacher. Check it up. You know, the Bereans checked up on the Apostle Paul.
Amen.
They checked up on the great Apostle Paul. They searched the Scriptures to see if these things were true. The Word of God stands sure. And so it's the Word of God that will cleanse us from sin. You're cleansed from sin first. We're told that in Acts. We're cleansed from sin. And then after that, in Acts chapter 2 and verse 47, when you're cleansed, you're added to the church. It's an individual thing first, and then you're added to the church. Take heed according to thy word. Pay attention to what God says. Listen to what he says. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. Again, these beautiful words that we quote. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And here's the word. And the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, or his Son, cleanseth us from how much sin? All sin. The blood of Jesus Christ takes away every sin, every stain. And God looks at us, and the Lord Jesus can look at us, and he says, you're clean every whit. Isn't that wonderful? The Lord Jesus can look at me, a good-for-nothing sinner. I've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, and he looks at me, and he says, you're clean every whit. To that I have to say, hallelujah, praise the Lord. I have to say that because I know me. Do you know you? See, this is something that we need to look into ourselves. How can a young man be cleansed? Now look at verse 10. And this is so important in the Christian life. Many people are told to accept the Lord Jesus Christ, and then they're put out on the sea to by the people that led them there, not by the Lord, to paddle that ship by themselves. And that'd be like you and like me trying to paddle the carrier Enterprise with a little paddle. We cannot do it. Look at this. Look at verse 10. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Stay in the word. Listen to the word. And there the Bible says that, oh, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. And so, how am I to rejoice in these testimonies? Look at verse 15. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. You have to meditate upon the word. You have to converse with yourself. Look at verse 16. Converse with yourself. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Is that right with you every day? Let me ask you this. Let me ask you, do you sit down every day? Do you sit down with the Lord? Do you delight yourself as some luscious meal? This is the most luscious meal you'll ever get. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ said, I have meat ye know not of. You and I can have that meat. Because we have the very same Holy Spirit in us. We have the one who can take and reveal this wonderful word to you and to me. God's directing for your life and my life after that we're saved. He says in verse 16 again, I will delight myself in thy statutes. Converse with yourself. Please yourself. He says, I delight myself. So we can do this. By not forgetting thy word. Now, notice this. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Let me ask you this. To forget something, you had to do what? You had to learn that you have to know something before you can forget. So you learn and know. See, and too many Christians are guilty of that. They knew something, and then they forgot. I will not forget thy word. Let me ask you, in being kind, but how many of us, now be honest, and you're being honest with the Lord, take that Bible in on Sunday morning after you've been to church, and how many of us, now be honest, how many of us go back on Sunday morning to get it and never open it during the week? That's not delighting in the word of God. That's not being able to know what God wants for you. That's not having, you won't have the fruit of the Spirit, my friend. You won't have all those wonderful things that God wants us to have if we do. That's not delighting in the Word of God, and that's not how you communicate with God. You let God talk to you through this book, and my friend, that will cause you to get on your knees and talk to Him. When you see what you are in this book, and I see what I am in this book, then I have to get on my knees and thank God for all that He's done and doing and going to do for me. Now, how am I to be full of life? A Christian often asks this. The Word of God. Look at verse 17. Deal bountifully with thy servant that I may live. You can have true life. You can have abundant life. The Lord Jesus Christ said, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 47, the people received the Spirit of God, received the Holy Spirit, Acts chapter 10 and verse 47, they received the Holy Spirit of God when Peter preached to them. And then we find also in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13, they were sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. And so were you, and so was I when we were saved. When we accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, the Holy Spirit came, and He came to dwell in us, and He's there, and He'll be there, and He was sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise to be in us. He sealed Himself in us. And you and I cannot break that seal, but we can sure quench the Spirit and grieve the Spirit. Do you know you cannot grieve any person that you don't love? Grieve not the Holy Spirit. You can't grieve anything but love. I'm full of life according to thy word. But when I'm a Christian and things happen when weakness sets in, how am I strengthened? Look at verse 28. My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according to what? According to thy word. And I agree with Brother John Bramhall, the Word of God has an answer for every difficulty that we have. Every difficulty. It makes no difference what it is. The difficulty is the Word can be strengthened by the Word of God. Look at Psalm chapter 27 in verse 5. Still hear the leaves, and I'll wait for you. Now notice, this is what God has expressed. This is what we call the Word, God's expression. In Psalm 27 and verse 5, where David is speaking, for in the time of trouble, He, God, shall hide me in His pavilion, in the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me, He shall set me up on a rock. What verse, what scripture, what word? Do you believe that? Do you believe John 3:16? Yes, I believe that. Well, this is just as true as John 3:16. And now look at, if you will, in Psalm chapter 37, while you're back there in 37, and verse 39. Oh, these precious communications that God has given to us. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. Now notice, He is their strength in the time of trouble. Don't turn to people. Don't turn to things. Turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. When you have difficulties, when there are perplexities, turn to the One, turn to the living Word of God, which can give you relief, which can give you assurance, which can give you the fruit of the Spirit, which the first one is love. And the second one is joy. And I don't believe you can have joy without true love. God didn't make any mistake when He put those nine fruits of the Spirit in order the way that He did in Galatians chapter 6. We can ask ourselves, how am I turned away from vanity? And too many times we don't listen to what God says. Look at verse 24. This is how you're turned away from vanity. It says in verse 24, thy testimonies also are my delight and my what? Let God be the counselor. Let God be the one that will talk with you. Now look at verse 37. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way. Verse 38. Establish thy word unto thy servant who is devoted to thy fear. Now look at that. Are we devoted to the fear of God, to the awesome wonder of God, and yes, to His mighty power? Look at that. Establish thy word unto thy servant who is devoted to thy fear. Verse 39. Verse 38 says that wonderful thing. I'm able to ask you to establish thy word unto me. I'm able to do that. In 2 Thessalonians, the Apostle Paul says in verse 17 of chapter 2, comfort your heart and establish you in every good work and word. He wanted God to do that. That was his prayer, that we are comforted in every good work, word and work. Every good word. And we're told, James tells us, that every good and perfect gift cometh down from the Father above, in whom there is no variableness. The Word of God stands sure, steadfast. And that is the thing on which you and I can stand. Do we have comfort? Are we able to stand when we have reproaches? Look at verse 41. Let thy mercies come also unto me, Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word. So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me, for I trust in thy word. I heard a man say not too long ago, and I don't even remember where it was, but I thought it was so wonderful. They asked him about believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I believe what the word has said, and you're going to argue with me, and you're going to have difficulties in believing what I said. But he said, that does not alter it. I believe the Word of God. And that's the way a Christian should be. All the arguments of the world, that should have no effect on us, because we know that all the things of the world are temporal, and they will not stand. But the Bible says that the Word of God will last and stand assured. So, when I have these reproaches, the only answer that I have is the written Word of God. That's the only answer that I have. I go to what God has communicated to you and communicated to me. Listen, this is a letter from God to mankind. Shouldn't we be interested in looking at it? And God says, what I wrote back here and what I wrote back here all combines together. And he says, you need to compare scriptural things with scriptural things, spiritual things with spiritual things, comparing scripture with scripture and seeing what I have to say to mankind, because my message is love. That's my message. God says, I love you. Jesus Christ is the expression of God, and Jesus Christ is the epitome of love. He died on the cross of Calvary for something that he did not do. He could not do, for he was not a sinner and could not sin. And he died there because George Kirk was a sinner. If I were the only person in the world, Jesus Christ died for me. That's love, isn't it? But he not only did that, he died for the sin of the whole world. What is the comfort in the affliction, the reproaches, and all these the difficulties that come upon us? Verse 50. I hope you're marking these in your Bible. I hope that you have them where you can turn to them. Look at this. Look at this. This should be maybe the first verse to which you turn. Verse 50. This is my comfort in my affliction. For thy word has made me alive. Isn't that wonderful? Thy word has made me alive. Now look at verse 71. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes, or what you've said. I've learned what you have said, Lord. Oh, my friend, thou wilt remember thy word unto me. The Lord won't forget his word. And, you know, I am dealt with, and you are dealt with, whether we're saved or unsaved, we're dealt with only by the word of God. Now listen. Listen to me. The judgments that will be to mankind are coming from, solely, only from, the Word of God. Whether we're saved or unsaved, we're going to be dealt with according to the Word of God. I have God's Word that I'm going to heaven because I trusted in His Son. And if you're here and you're not saved, you have God's Word that you're not going to heaven. But God wants you to. God wants you to go to heaven, and all you need to do is to believe what He has said. John 3:16, for God so loved you, the world, and you'd have to prove to me that you're not part of the world, and that would be simple because you, and be idiotic because you are a part of the world. So God so loved you that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him, who is the Word, the expression of God, that He died on the cross of Calvary for your sin, God said you shall be saved. That's the Word of God. That's His surety. When I was in the bank, we used to have people to sign notes for other people. And we quit doing that because the people that signed for other people didn't want to pay it when the other people didn't. God doesn't work that way. God gives His surety. God gave His word, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, and God gave Him for you and for me. Oh, the beauty of the written, living word of God. How do I affect others when I have accepted Thy word? Look at verse 74. Look at this. And how our testimony needs to be thought about. Look at this. They that fear Thee will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in Thy word. Do you hope in His word? Are you making yourself pure with the blessed hope of His word? Are you trusting in His word? What keeps me trusting in His word or in the Lord? Look at verse 81. My soul fainteth for Thy salvation, for again I hope in Thy word. Stay in His word. There He will give you the ability. There He'll give you the authority to counteract all these crazy things that have come upon you. Look at His word. Believe in His word. Trust in His word. I think I've told you a couple of times maybe that a person was having difficulty with the devil, and the devil said, you're not saved, you're not saved. He kept bothering him with it. Every night he bothered him with it. And one night he took his Bible and threw it under the bed and he said, there, you read it for yourself. You read it for yourself. It's in there. It's in the word of God. And the word of God stands assured. And it's in there, my friend, and sometimes you have to dig it out. God wants you to dig it out, to find the treasures in His word, to find the golden nuggets, as it were, in His word. He wants it to, for you to see that. Now, how do I know His word is true? Look at verse 89. Shouldn't this be enough? Forever, O Lord, Thy word is settled in heaven. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. Back there, pre-existent with God. The Word of God. The expression of God. The Lord Jesus Christ. The one who is, there is nothing in this world that we're told in John's Gospel that was not made by Him or for Him. All things were created by the Word. The Word, the living Word of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, that wonder of that Word. And look at verse 160 in that connection. And this just confirms John 1 and 1. Confirms Genesis 1 and 1. Confirms 1 John 1 and 1. Thy word is true from the beginning. And every one of Thy righteous judgments endureth forever. Oh, what a lesson the Lord is giving us from His precious communication this morning. How am I able to hate the false way? And many Christians need to know that. And they ask that question. These things come upon me. How am I able to hold every false way? Look at verse 104. Now notice this. Notice, my friends. Through Thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. I hate every false way. When we come to the Word of God and we're engrossed and enthralled and filled with the Holy Spirit, then we will be able to hate every false way. The knowledge of the Word of God. And we ask, how am I able to make my way through this world? Look at verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. And then verse 130. Notice this. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. Listen. This communication that God has given to us is stronger than any x-ray machine. And again, I'm going to refer to Mr. Bradhall. It's stronger than any x-ray machine. For he asked this question once in the hospital when they were taking x-rays of him. He said to the nurse, have you ever been able to find the soul? This does. This does. It's an x-ray that does that. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding to the simple. God goes right into our soul. God sees. God knows. God sees that heart of yours. It hasn't been cleansed. God wants to cleanse it. It cannot come. You cannot come into God's presence in heaven. You cannot come there. You cannot enter there unless you come by the cleansing way of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, which was shed on Calvary for you and for me. Look at verse 133. Order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. If you want to stay pure, you want to stay the way, stay with God. And then you go to chapter 41 of Isaiah, verse 13, the Lord said, I hold thy right hand. Stay with God, Christian. After you're a Christian, I'm not talking to you if you're not a Christian. You can't stay with God if you're not a Christian. But after you're a Christian, stay where you belong, and God holds your right hand. Fear not, I will hold your right hand. And then again in verse 140. Thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. Does it thrill your heart? Does it thrill you? Listen, my friend, do you get together and husband and wife, if you're here together, do you sit down and do you read the Word of God together? Do you meditate upon it together? Do you relish in it together? It's the greatest peace that you can have is to be with the Lord and His Word, the Lord Jesus Christ. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. My friend, when you realize through the Word of God just how wonderful all three of them are, what a feast you have when you turn into this written Word which becomes the living Word. How am I able to make it through this world? By the Word of God. How does salvation affect me? Look at verse 158. I beheld the transgressors and was grieved. Listen. Do we get tears in our eyes because of this? Because they do not know. Look at that. Because they kept not thy word. Are we grieved for the unsaved of this world? The Lord Jesus Christ looked out over Jerusalem with tears in his eyes and he said, my old Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I would have gathered you as a hen gathers her chicks, but you would not. Oh, he wanted to give them a protection like a mother hen. And he used that illustration. If you've never lived on a farm or seen little teepees, when the storm comes, they gather around that mother and she brings that wing, those wings up, and then she puts them down and they're safe under her wings. They're as safe as she can make them. Listen, my friend, when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, you're as safe as the Lord Jesus Christ can make you. That's safe. That's safe. The wonder of being in His salvation. And then verse 162. I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. I found a great loot. I found, oh, I didn't know that this was there. And we discover it day by day. New every morning, as Jeremiah tells us in Lamentation. The newness of the wonders of the word of God. Every time that we go therein, he has some new, wonderful revelation for us. In verse 169, Let my cry come near before thee, O Lord. Give me understanding, oh, but make it clear. Make it clear, give me understanding according to thy word. It has to be thus and thus saith the Lord. According to thy word. And then verse 172, my tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteous. Isn't that wonderful? All thy commandments are righteousness. Nothing unrighteous with God. Oh, I trust this morning, if you're not saved, that you will listen to the word of God who says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. That's the word God speaks. He is the word. He wants to save you. And if you are saved, listen, my friend. The Lord Jesus Christ tells us through the Apostle Peter, cast all our care upon him, for he careth for us. And you need to dwell in his word, to dwell in his spirit. That's the only place you learn of him. And then you can pray to him and talk to him. And the next time you go to the word, he'll answer that prayer. And the next time he talks to you and you go to him in a more intelligent way in prayer, he'll answer that prayer. And you don't have to pray with all the piety that some are able to do. Just go to him and talk with him and the Lord will talk to you. The Lord loves you and wants to, for you, if you're his child, he wants you to grow in him. He doesn't want you to be an infant or an invalid. He wants you to be growing and to grow in strength and to grow in ability so that other people can look at you as we saw there, and they can see according to the word that you've been into the sanctuary, into the throne room, as it were, with the Lord God. And you come there through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and through the power of the Holy Spirit. May the Word of God penetrate into our very being today, and may the Lord bless it to our souls. As we sing our hymn of invitation, if anyone is here and they aren't saved, number 311, saved by the blood. That's the only way, my friend. There's no other way. Men may tell you other things today, but that isn't what the Word of God says. And I would admonish you this morning, please take the 119th Psalm, the longest chapter in the Bible. It might be the most important chapter in the Bible as far as a Christian is concerned. And look at this and see what God has said and how high he rates upon a pedestal his word. This is my beloved son. This is my beloved word in whom I'm well pleased. Standing as we sing, number 311.